Amen. This morning, I'm going to tell you a guaranteed way to have victory over the flesh in your life. Guaranteed. No money back. Okay? Because it doesn't cost you anything. It's guaranteed. Every one of us have been with Paul in Romans chapter 7, where Paul said, you know, the things that I want to do, what? I don't do it. And the things I don't want to do, I do. And we've all had that struggle, because even though you're a Christian, you still have the old flesh and the old nature. And there are sometimes thoughts come into my mind and I think, whoa, where'd that come from? Well, that's the old flesh. Still got it. You'll have it till you die. And that battle is always going on. The spirit and the flesh. The battle is going on all the time. And I'm going to give you, toward the end of the lesson, a guaranteed way to have victory over the flesh. Guaranteed. Now you say, you may be saying that I'm not qualified to give such a thing. But I want you to know, this last week I had a dream. Mark, did your parents tell you about my dream?
No, sir.
Oh, wow, I can't believe that. I thought they'd spread the word. Tuesday night, I had a dream about your dad. And he was very upset, which is not your dad, but he was very upset because he had had something happen in his life and the church did not minister to him. So I came to church Wednesday night, and he was not here. Found out the garage door had closed on his arm. Yeah. So I've thought about starting a television ministry. If I have a few more of those, I'm going to do that, okay? We'll get that going. By the way, his dad's doing pretty well, I think. I did see him at the funeral, I think. But the great news is, you don't have to watch anybody on TV. You don't have to go to any kind of seminar. You know, it's funny. I heard a guy say a couple days ago, it seems like we use the Word of God to get saved, and then we go to the Christian bookstore to find out how to live. And I thought, wow, isn't that true? Really, the answers are all right here in this book, aren't they? They're all right here. So we've been talking about the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost. And I want to just review very quickly. We spent time last week talking about the person of the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit. And we said, number one, that He is God. He's God. He is a person. He has all the attributes of God. He's equal to the Father. He's equal to the Son, because He's God. And again, we often talk about the third person of the Trinity. You know, not first or second, but third. But that's really doing a disservice to the Trinity and to the Holy Spirit. It's interesting, I didn't talk about this last week, but it's interesting that He is compared to wind. You know that in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, the word for the Spirit is the word ruah, which almost sounds like rush, the rushing, and the wind. The same, you know, by the way, it's translated wind in the Old Testament. That invisible force that moves things. And by the way, in the New Testament, one of the words for the Spirit of God is the pneuma. You know that word, don't you? How do you know that word? Pneumatic. There you go. Our friendly carpenter builder here. Pneumatic. An air-powered tool. And the Spirit of God is that breath that comes upon, that influence of God, the Holy Spirit of God. We looked at all kinds of names of God. We won't repeat all those. But the person of the Holy Ghost. Secondly, we talked about the presence of the Holy Ghost. And we use our verse from last week, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? Okay? God dwells within you in the person of the Spirit of God. And again, I'll be honest with you folks. I've heard this since I was but a wee tyke, you know. But what a truth. We get so used to the great truths of the Spirit of the Word of God that it's just like, so who cares? Folks, when you got saved, God moved in. I mean, think about that. God moved in. We are indwelt by the Spirit of God. When did it happen? Well, I already mentioned it. When we got saved. In Romans chapter 8, it says, now if any man have not the Spirit of God, what is true? He is none of his. If you don't have the Spirit of God, it means you're not a believer. Every believer has the Spirit of God. Okay? You get him the moment you get saved. Now, this indwelling, we're never told to seek it. God never says you need to seek the indwelling. It is not experiential. When you got saved, you didn't say, ooh, I just got indwelt by the Spirit of God. But it happened. But by the way, how many times are you indwelt by the Spirit of God? Why is that? You only get saved once, and when you get the Spirit of God, you have the Spirit of God forever. So there it is. And by the way, John 14:16 we used. He said, I'll pray the Father, he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. By the way, that's kind of a, I'm not going to get too tied up in this. That's kind of another character of Spirit of God. Jesus said, I'm going to leave. The disciples had been with him. He had been their guide. He had helped them. He had done all these things. I'm leaving, but I'm going to send you another comforter of the same kind, the Spirit of God. We'll talk more about that next week. Okay? So, number one, the indwelling. Secondly, what was the second relationship we have with the Spirit of God? The one that we couldn't think of. The baptism. All right? The baptism. And again, when does this occur? Come on, folks. Boy, it's like, I'm trying to think what happened last night, but I don't know of anything bad. I mean, Tennessee basketball won resoundingly. Usually this happens after a Tennessee Vols football loss. And y'all come into Sunday school like, or Ohio State loses. Yeah. Our Alabama guy's not here, is he? No, he's not here. Okay. So it says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. The moment you get saved, you're baptized, you're placed in the body of Christ. Think about this, folks. You are united. You are unified with Christ. Mike's unified with Christ when he got saved. Larry was unified with Christ when he got saved. Nick was unified with Christ when he got saved. You know what that means? That means we're all part of the body of Christ. It happened to the baptism. By the way, seven times in the New Testament, it talks about the baptism of the Spirit. You are never told to seek the baptism. Not once. Now, I'm emphasizing these things because there's all kinds of false teaching. And if you get it straight at the beginning, you'll be okay. And you'll understand the rest of the stuff isn't true. You get the Holy Spirit of God indwelling you, and you're baptized in the body of Christ the moment you trust Christ. And by the way, not only does he place you in the body, what else does he do? He gives you spiritual gifts to use in the body. Okay? Now that's all review. We started the third one last week, and that is in his filling. We see it right here in Ephesians 5:18. And be not drunk or controlled by wine or alcohol or in his excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, right off the bat, there's several things we ought to notice. You help me here. How does this one differ from the others? It is to be sought after. And if you knew, it's in a present tense, which means being filled with the Spirit of God. There's something else also about this. It is a passive tense. You're not doing the acting. You're not filling yourself. He said you need to be filled or controlled by the Spirit of God. Just as alcohol controls someone who is inebriated, so he says you need to be controlled by the Spirit of God. Now, it's interesting. It is a command. It's an imperative. He said you need to be doing this. Now, the first two happen once. How many times do you need the filling? Over and over and over and over again. Why is that? Why don't you just get saved? You get indwelt, you get baptized, you get filled. Whoopee, here we go. This is great. You go through the Christian life. You're always filled with the Spirit. You're always controlled by the Spirit. It's great. Why not? The flesh. That's exactly right. The flesh. And I mentioned last week, anytime you have a decision, your flesh is going to come down the wrong side. Did you experience that this week? You had decisions to make, and your flesh, every time, with pushing you the wrong direction. But the Spirit of God, every time, will push you in the right direction and influence you in the right direction. So he says, look, you need to be filled with the Spirit. Now, let me ask you this question. What are the consequences of being filled with the Spirit? Now, this is really important. Because a lot of people out there teaching that if you get filled with the Spirit, you're going to speak in tongues. You're going to bark like a dog. I'm just glad that one's not true. You're going to howl like a wolf. Now, some of you may do that already when there's full moon. I don't know. You're going to laugh hysterically and uncontrollably. Pick up snakes. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that one's not true? I would have to be inebriated to pick up snakes. I'll just have to say that. I tell you what. Now, to be honest with you, wouldn't it be great if they said, look, just be filled with the Spirit, and if you are, you'll speak in tongues. And, of course, they're not talking about known languages. That would be wonderful. We went to Brazil, and, boy, if the filling of the Spirit had allowed me to speak in Portuguese, that would have been great. I worked on it, and still couldn't hardly say hello or goodbye. It was terrible. But, you know, okay, you're filled with the Spirit, and it happens, you do these certain things, you get filled with the Spirit, and you begin to talk gibberish. How many of you can talk gibberish? Raise your hands, you lazy people. All of you can talk gibberish. Sure you can, Joe. Joe, you're looking too righteous today. I mean, come on, Joe, you can talk gibberish too. Just But I want you to know, being filled with the Spirit of God has nothing to do with any of those things. In fact, in our text here in Ephesians, we find if you are filled with the Spirit of God, I want you to see the results of it, okay? Very quickly, here we go. You're in Ephesians 5:18. So he said, look, you need to be filled with the Spirit. Now, if you are filled with the Spirit, look what happens in verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, in the past, I've had some people in the choir who were not filled with the Spirit. They could not sing the melody. Okay. That's not what that means, by the way. You know what's going to be true? If you are filled with the Spirit of God, what? What would that verse say? You will have a song in your heart. Huh? Well, it's so hard to be a Christian. I tell you, it's rough. You know, you got to go to church every Sunday. You can't drink alcohol. You can't smoke. You can't womanize. I mean, you can't do anything. I mean, it's really, right? That's how we look, right? We're sitting in church. Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Yeah, and low. Shouldn't it be, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer? Sometime I'm going to have, you know, we've got those cameras on the side. I'm going to have McGee turn those cameras around, and I'm going to have him flash up on the screen what we all look like during the song service. I've threatened the choir with that. By the way, choir, just rabbit trail. If you're in the choir, I want to encourage you to remember something. The whole time you're in the choir loft, literally millions of people in the world see you. Well, not millions, but four or five. And here's what they see. Now, I'll be honest with you. I'm on the stage, too. And that's probably what they see when I'm on the stage, too. So I'm going to work at that, okay? Look, he said, if you are filled with the Spirit of God, you'll have a song in your heart. Oh, look at the next one. Verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? If you are filled with the Spirit of God, you will be a what kind of person? Thankful. Wow. I told you it'd be easy to speak gibberish. Song in the heart. Thankful. I've got bad news. It's going to get harder. Okay? Hang on to your hats. Ladies, don't throw anything at me. If you are a Spirit-filled wife, okay? Now, I see that look, Laura. She's already given me that evil eye. It says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, he's going to show us what that means. For the ladies, it says, wives, you ready, ladies? Hold on to the edge of your seats. Submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife. Oh, that's not right. A bunch of male, Paul was a male chauvinist. By the way, was this Paul's idea? Of course, we're not sure. We think he may have been single. Maybe he could write that because he's single. He didn't have a wife to say, now, Paul, don't write that. I don't know. Submitting yourself to your husband. You want to know it? You want to know what you say, well, he does not deserve my respect or my submission. And when he does, I'll do it. Is that what the Bible says? A spirit-filled wife. And men don't get too relaxed, okay? Because we're coming your way, all right? A spirit-filled wife. Okay, you say, oh, I'm filled with the Spirit of God. Let me ask your husband about that. Would your husband say, my wife is a spirit-filled woman? She has submitted herself and will submit herself to my headship and my leadership in the home. I'm glad we don't have any hymnals in here. I think they'd be being thrown at this point. All right, men, buckle up. Here we go. You say, Gary, I am a spirit-filled man, a spirit-filled husband. All right, here it goes. Husbands, love your wives. He said, that's no big deal. I can do that. I'm not done. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Wow. You know what a spirit-filled husband looks like? A person who will sacrifice what he wants to meet the needs of his wife. And he will give, and he will give, and he will give, and he will give. Should we stop and have an imitation? Now, we could spend a lot more time there, gentlemen. But he goes on to say in verse 28, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. You ever stand in the mirror and yell at yourself? I hope not. If you do, they have places for people like that, you know. Coats that tie in the back, you know. And yet, there are husbands that do that with their wives all the time. What do we do with our own bodies? We cherish our bodies. We baby our bodies, okay? And he said, that's how you ought to treat your wife. As you would your own body. You say, what does a spirit-controlled husband look like? He loves his wife. It doesn't stop there, and we'll go quickly here. Ephesians 6:1. What does a spirit-controlled child look like? And I know the youth that have children at home still are praying for this, okay? What does a spirit-controlled child look like? Children, obey your parents. That there's the submission. The submission of the wife to the husband. The submission of the husband in his own needs to the wife by loving her. The submission of the child to the parents. And it goes on in this passage, and I won't take time here, but in Ephesians 6:4, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. What does a spirit-filled father look like? One that has a big billfold and doles out the money whenever his kids ask for it. No, one that raises them in the discipline and the training of the Lord. That's a spirit-filled father. He doesn't do terrible things to set his kids off. He doesn't drive them to wrath. No, he raises them in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. And we go down, by the way, how many of you have a job? You work for somebody. Almost everybody, okay, lots of people. Hey, here you go. Servants, employees, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto the Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers. You know what that means? You sit around all the time until the boss shows up. And then you work feverishly. And then the boss leaves and you say, well, guys, what do you think about the weather, man? Huh? That's, you know what a spirit-controlled employee looks like? gives 100%, 100% of the time. He's not critical of the boss. He's not critical of what's going on. He does his job with all of his heart. And then he talks about the employers. How many of you have people who work for you? Yeah, several of you do. And he addresses you also, folks. And he says in verse 9, ye masters, do the same thing unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your Father, Master, which is in heaven, neither is there any respect of persons with him. He said, look, you need to treat them right. Look, folks, a spirit-filled person is in submission to the needs of others. That's what he looks like. That's what she looks like. I told you it'd be a lot easier to speak gibberish. Well, this is where the rubber meets the road, isn't it? Now, I want you to turn over to Galatians chapter 5, a parallel passage. Well, it's not a parallel passage, but it has some more truth for us. Now, I told you I was going to give you the key to victory in your Christian life. Here it is. Here it's guaranteed. Guaranteed. You ready? Galatians 5:16. Walk in the Spirit. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean? Be controlled by the Spirit of God, and what happens? And you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. Now, you say, well, Gary, what are the works of the flesh? Well, he tells us right here. Look at this. Verse 19. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lascivious. Those are all sexual sins. If you are involved in sexual sin, what does the Word of God say? You are not filled with the Spirit. Okay? Then he goes on to idolatry and witchcraft. And these are relationship to God. Then look at this. Hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders. He said, look, if you've got conflict, if there's heresy, if you've got fighting and conflict and jealousy and all, guess what? Guess what? Not filled with the Spirit of God. Mm-mm. And then he mentions drunkenness and something else. What is the other one? And revelings. And you say, well, so what happens if you're filled with the Spirit? And I don't have time to compare these, but sit down and put them side by side, and I'll just show you the first one. What's the first thing? Fruit of the Spirit is love. What were the first things on the flesh side? Lust. Huh? You see? And you can do it all the way through. Compare them. Look, a Spirit-filled person is full of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Now, how do you get spirit filled? That's what I want. I mean, I don't want that first list, do you? You don't want that list of the flesh going on in your life. You want that second list, fruit of the Spirit. Well, you can always Google it. So I did. Now, I'm trying not to be sacrilegious. I'm just reading what people have said. If you want to be spirit filled, okay? I just put it in the search bar, how to get spirit filled. Okay? Now obviously I didn't read the ones that agree with us, okay? Open your mind, open your spirit, stop listening to others, look in your heart for answers. There you go. You open your mind, you know what? You're in trouble. Because everything under the sun's gonna come in. But I think it's kind of funny, it says open your mind, open your spirit, but don't listen to anybody else. Well, how do you do that? How do you open your mind, but you don't listen? I don't know. Here's a long one. Here's the prayer. Dear Father, I need you. I hunger and thirst for more vital relationship with you. I admit that I've been in control of my life. As a result, I've sinned against you. Thank you for forgiving my sins through Christ's death on the cross for me. I now confess and turn from my sins and surrender the control of my life to the Lord Jesus. By faith, I invite you to fill me with the Holy Spirit as you commanded me to be filled. You promise to fill me if I ask according to your will. I pray this in the authority of the name of Jesus Christ. To demonstrate my faith, I now, excuse me, thank you for filling me with your Holy Spirit and for taking control of my life. Amen. Now, if you sincerely prayed that prayer, you are filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't you wish that was true? Here's another one. Pray to God. Okay? You want to be filled with the Spirit. Begin letting God and the Holy Spirit into your life by praying. Pray every day if you can, in private or in church. just have conversations with God and get used to having this spiritual time. With time, you will feel filled with the Holy Spirit whenever you pray, as well as when you go about your day normally. So just pray, and pretty soon you'll be filled with the Spirit of God. By the way, there's nothing wrong with prayer. I'm for it. But, folks, that will not get you controlled by the Spirit of God. So how does it happen? How can a Christian be filled? Isn't that what you want? I mean, none of us want the flesh to have victory in our life and to have hatred and variance and all those sexual sins and all that junk in Galatians 5. We don't want that. We want the love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. We want all that. How do you do it? How do you get filled? Spend time in the book. Okay. Any other ideas? Stay away from worldly things. Any other ideas? Pray? No, I just said that didn't work. Remember, I just said that. No, I'm just kidding. Spend time with the Lord, undoubtedly. Sure. Undoubtedly. Let me help you real quickly. All of you are right. Okay? Now, we talked last week about the glove. I brought the right-hand glove today just to show it works too. Okay? The glove representing us, the hand representing the Holy Spirit of God. Before the Holy Spirit of God can control my life, some things have to happen. And buddy, you hit it right on the head. Number one, I have to die to self. Put self to death. Because if self's on the throne, God won't be. And the Bible talks about this in many places. Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. What did he mean by that? He hung on the cross with Christ? No. What he means, he died to himself. He says, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Take yourself off the throne. And then secondly, put God on the throne. How do you do that? Let me tell you real quickly. We've talked about this before. If we had time, we would turn to Colossians chapter 3. And you can do this if you want to at home. Notice in that passage how everything is parallel. Okay? Wives, submit to husbands. Husbands, love your wives. Children, obey your parents. All found in the same passage. But it's not talking about being filled with the Spirit. Here's how that passage starts. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Here's what he's saying. Look, to get controlled by the Spirit of God, you need to be controlled by the word of God. Now, doesn't that make sense? How did we get the word of God? Holy Spirit of God, or the men, holy men of God, spake as they were moved. Hey, by that's that word, wind, that moving. As they were moved by the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. Now, if the Holy Spirit was an integral part of giving us this book, doesn't it make sense that being controlled by the book and being controlled by the Spirit of God would be the same? All right, so, leads us to our next point. How do you get controlled by the book? Well, you put it under your pillow at night, and through osmosis, you feel what's in it, and it changes your life, right? Now, the only way it may change your life, you may have a stiff neck when you get up in the morning, right? How do you do it? You got to start with reading. Exactly right, Dan. You got to read it. You say, Gary, I want to be a Spirit-controlled Christian. All right, now let me ask you. How much time did you spend in the book this last week? So you got to read it. What else should you do? Meditate. Now, before you can meditate, you've got to be able to do something else. Because if I read it in the morning, how can I meditate on it? What else must happen? I got to memorize it, or at least have some inkling of what I read. So all through the day, I read in my devotions, Ephesians, it says, husbands, love your wives. And all through the day, as I interact with my wife, the Spirit of God says, hey, love your wife. Take the trash out. Turn the ball game off. Or at least put it on pause. I mean, hallelujah. Love your wife. And it changes you, and it makes you what you ought to be. By the way, isn't that what Romans 12, 1 and 2 teaches? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your body a living sacrifice. Isn't that dying to self? Now, I've stopped in the middle here. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And how does that happen? Folks, look, I know you say, Seaman, that's all you were talking about the Bible. Well, this is it, folks. This is it. This is the key. And if you'll spend time in God's Word every day and obey what you read, you'll be a Spirit-controlled Christian. Here it is. A Scripture-controlled believer is a Spirit-controlled believer. Now, if we say, oh, pastor said it, but I don't believe it's true. Well, by the way, if you think that, get in the book and find out. Be like the Berean Christians. And if it's in the book, guess what? It's true. Spirit-filled Christians. Let me encourage you this week. Pray. There we go. Say, Lord, help me to just obey your word every day, every hour, every minute, every second. Lord, help me to be a word-filled, Bible-controlled Christian that I might be filled with the Spirit of God. And you know what's going to happen when your heart and mind gets filled with the Word of God? You're going to have love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and meekness, all of those things when you are controlled by the Word of God. Now, next week, we're going to look at some very practical things that the Spirit of God does in our lives. And we'll finish with that, Lord willing, next week. All right? All right. Lord, we do thank you for your Word. We thank you for your Spirit. And Spirit of God, we do want to be controlled by you. And help us, Lord, to be people who love the Word of God, who spend time in the Word of God, who are controlled by the Word of God. To be Spirit-controlled and filled believers, I pray. Everywhere we go this week, in our home, in our workplace, in the community, God, help us, I pray, to be Spirit-controlled, Spirit-filled believers. In Jesus' name, amen.